Blog Talk Radio.
No more gatekeeping. 100% blood free. Real solutions, real people, real action. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Wow. Well, that was a bumpy bumper music start there. I kind of messed it up. So let's try it one more time. All right, Steve, what do you say?
Yeah, let's do it again. Yeah.
Okay, let's do that one more time so we can get it right. Here we go.
No more gatekeeping. 100% blood-free. Real solutions, real people, real action. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. On Revolution Broadcasting at revolutionbroadcasting.com.
Okay, and now we can come on and officially start Truth Be Told Radio. Steve, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Good, man. You know, if this were tonight's show, we would stop and do it all over again and have Jay come out again, you know, or something like that. Here's Johnny. You know, I mean, we want it done right, friends, and that's the reason why we do it.
Yeah, that's right. Our website is theylie.com. When they're not telling the truth, theylie.com is the website. And, of course, we're joined with all the great folks at revolutionbroadcasting.com Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock to midnight East Coast time with all the archives at our website. Steve, a very special guest on tonight. I've been following the free man perspective, and I know a lot of our listeners have been looking forward to this show. I sure have been, and we're going to get right into that in just a moment. But first, let's quickly mention Republic Media. And the folks at republicmedia.tv, they've got a lot of new films on there. I think I'll put a feature for the Freeman interview that we do on republicmedia.tv, and we thank them for keeping us in tune to all the great work they're doing, and we're partnering up with them to provide another great source for the alternative media, kind of a Hulu for the truth movement, if you will. So Truth Be Told Radio is glad to be involved with Republic Media. TV. All right, without further ado, let's bring up Freeman.
Yeah.
Freeman, welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. We've been looking forward to this. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, and it's good to be here, guys.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. We'll be connecting to our Revolution Broadcasting feed. Here we go. Should be on in just a second, and we'll jump right into tonight's interview on Truth Be Told Radio with Freeman. Why don't you go ahead and give out your website so they can take a look while we're going through the rabbit hole tonight on the interview.
Yes, the truth is that you need to see to believe. There's no doubt about that. And I'm trying to make sure everything there, I have everything to offer for you right there on freemantv.com. So it's just freemantv.com.
Great.
freemantv.com is the website. We hope you check that out. And yeah, as Ralph Epperson has said on our program many times, we're from Missouri, which is the show me state. Well, we're not really from there. We're honorary citizens of Missouri, and we really do believe that folks should take a look at this information for themselves, make up their own minds. Before you jump to any conclusions, consider the evidence and take a look at it with an open mind, and that's what we'll be doing on tonight's show. Now, your focus, if you will, is taking a look at the magician, so to speak. And the magic. You want to tell me what that means?
Well, as you start to get deep into your conspiracy world, the truther movement, and you start to discover the secret elite, as they were, what we now call the Illuminati, then you quickly recognize the connection between politics and fraternal orders. or these mystery schools that have been passed down through time. And in America, of course, Freemasonry reigns supreme. And so we find that we actually live in a Freemasonic nation, that actually House Resolution 33 established Freemason Day on June 24th. So now we have Freemason Day to say that, you know, this is a Masonic country. And so you start asking the question, okay, all the first presidents were Masons. As a matter of fact, half of our presidents have all been Masons. How does that happen that half of our presidents become are members of a single fraternity? So you start to wonder about, you know, elections and how things are going, and you start to wonder, what is this brotherhood all about? So it turns out that I have a family relationship. My father was worshipful master for the Freemasons in the Kaiserslautern Lodge, and that's in Germany. Therefore, you see, this is the world's largest fraternal order. So when we think about our leaders and we think about them just being members of fraternities and whatnot, we don't think too much about it. But as you start to dig deeper, and I've been to many temples, I've been to the Temple of the 33rd, I've been to Benjamin Franklin's Temple in Philadelphia, and you name it. I've been to the original lodge in London, all over researching, discussing, and talking with Freemasons and magicians, because they go hand in hand. As you get deep into Freemasonry, you find out that Freemasonry is Kabbalism, which is an ancient Hebrew form of mysticism. And then you'll start to understand why Britney and Madonna and all of them are practicing Kabbalah and how this all interacts. So what you realize in the end of all of this is that there is ceremonial magician magic being performed all around you at all times, and that you're not informed of this whatsoever.
Wow. Very, very interesting, folks, and we're going to take a look a little bit more at your background here for the first part of the show so folks can get a glimpse of how it is you became such a world-renowned researcher on the occult and their rituals, and really the signs are everywhere. You're one of the first people to really wake me up to how blatant some of these signs are and how right in our face they are. And we'll take a look at the bottom of this hour at some of the different symbols and whatnot. And then next hour, we'll get into the bulk of the show, which we'll be talking about what we can do about it on the very last part of the show, because that's kind of how we like to give Truth Be Told Radio its solution-oriented appeal. We like to present the magicians, as you put it in your research, and their rituals and the problems and the systems of control. And then we like to shift our gears towards solutions, because you can't have one without the other. Just like the Hegelian dialectic uses problem, reaction, solution, we need to also be aware of this sort of dialectic. What do you think about that, Freeman?
Sounds perfect.
Cool.
Because as we speak of magic, what I'm really speaking now on is sorcery, which is the use of magic for the negative effects or the greedy effects.
Wow.
So there's a separation. Sorcery is arcane knowledge misapplied. But magicians, we all are.
Yeah, and on top of the list, I want to mention a couple of the highlights of tonight's show. We're going to cover it all. We're just going to go all over the place. Like, you know, I'm ADD, and that's kind of how you got to do these shows sometimes, especially when you have a guest like yourself, who we could spend whole shows on the individual topics unto themselves. So we're just going to give our listeners a taste, and if they want to do more research, that's why we give out the websites. That's why we tell them to go watch your films. That's why we tell them to go support you. And that being said, I want to mention also on the show, we're going to talk about the possibility, or probably even a likely chance, that Obama is a clone connected to Egypt, and we'll get into that. You might say it sounds crazy. Hey, keep an open mind, folks. Consider the evidence that our guest is going to present. If it doesn't add up, then okay, you used your judgment. But at least use your critical thinking skills and looking at what he presents. And also, last but not least, we're going to talk about popular rituals right in front of our faces in modern culture, in the VMAs, at the Disney World, which takes us to your background. You grew up in the Orlando area, a very heavily infiltrated place with lots of symbolism there. You want to take us to Orlando and begin this journey down the rabbit hole and get our listeners a little bit of a glimpse of your history?
Well, it's funny because that's where the rabbit hole began, for sure. Orlando, Florida was actually marked as the first point of light in the 1,000 point of light system that HW, you know, a few bushes back, established. And what that really meant was that Orlando was the first police state. I mean, we had cameras and cops and hooded thugs long before anyone else in the U.S. And so when I came out, even, you know, probably 6 years later, traveling around, and people were just getting to the idea of cameras and jackbooted thugs, I was like, whoa, you guys are way behind. You know, this was high school for me, and I'm 40 now. And so you start to realize that we all wake up from different levels. We wake up into different perspectives. And so you always usually start with the gun at your door, of course, and how unfair and how unjust the world is. And then you start to probe. So I began with the whole concept of, you know, police states and understanding this, but then also getting deeper into Walt Disney and Walt Disney World and how this really was a microcosm of the macrocosm. Because when you see Walt Disney World, you recognize that the entire complex of Walt Disney is made by military-industrial corporations. So people that build nuclear bombs are also have sponsoring rides in Walt Disney World. It's the same foundation. And so then you see that civilization is just like this, that everything around us is actually just a manufactured control system from a military-industrial complex. But then you start asking, who are those guys? And that's what we'll get to later. So we start to see the picture more clearly that our culture is manufactured, it's crafted, and they use all the means necessary to indoctrinate us. So when we look at Walt Disney, consider the founding fathers. Now, we're told this story of the Tea Party and how wonderful it was and how they escaped from King George and established this wonderful republic. Now, the truth of the matter is, and Disney will present this to you in a film called The Sons of Liberty, and that's actually how I learned the history of the Boston Tea Party. It's from Walt Disney films in school. And what you realize is that they leave out the part of the puzzle where all of these men coming out dumping the tea came out of a Masonic lodge, and that's where the whole Mason takeover comes into the picture, and what they leave out is what's critical. Well, there's a classic example. That was put out by UNESCO, and they are strong in eugenics, you know, the whole idea. It's a small world, same with limits to growth from your Club of Rome. They were programming these things into the population over and over and over again. You walk into Disney World, you give your biometrics, you got to give them your credit card. They take your fingerprint upon walking in, then they have your picture, and they ask you where you're from, and they get your entire biometrics in the first 10 minutes of walking in the park. You get up in that big ball that they have, and they express to you exactly how they controlled you through language, mathematics, and science, and even introduced all the new forms of music and culture into the civilization, starting with the Phoenicians and working up to modern Masons today. It's astounding when you put the perception on. It's like putting the glasses from They Live on, and all of a sudden your whole world shifts.
Wow. This is some good stuff here. And I'm glad that little clip there triggered a decent response. I was hoping it fit in somewhere, and you know,
it all fits, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I could only imagine that it did.
The big ball that's there in Disney was put up by, or is now sponsored by, Siemens. And when you go to the old Auschwitz pictures, you'll see Siemens' corporate logo over the Auschwitz death camps. So realize that we're in a Nazi dream here in America, and everyone thinks that they're living in some free country.
Yeah, it really is scary. Now let's also talk a little bit about your father. He was involved with some upper echelons, Masonic levels there.
Well, the truth is that I never really knew much about my dad. He did not talk. I finally gave over to him that he must have had a top secret life because of the things that he did tell me. Now, I found out he was a worshipful master in the Freemasons because I used to wear his Masonic cufflinks as space insignia when I played Battlestar Galactica as a child. And once I learned about the compass square and G symbolism, I went, I know that symbol, you know, and it clicked with me. And then I started investigating my dad, asking him, you know, what I could. And I find out, yes, he was worshipful master in the Freemasons, but my mom was married to what she called the grand potentate of Freemasonry there in Kaiserslautern. And my dad actually had to leave the Brotherhood in order to marry my mom. But before all of that happened, he was already involved in deep, black, dark, secret government operations, such as Killer One submarine, which, of course, now they're all public, so they don't seem so deep, black. But the original nuclear submarines that my father was on was with Jimmy Carter, and these were very covert at the time. Then I find out that he was in Project Blue Book, and he starts, the only thing he left me with was, yeah, flying saucers are real. And he never really told me much more. He told me he was stationed on an island and that it was his job to track the flying saucers as they came in. Then, you know, he received a letter from Jimmy Carter when he became president. And so my father, I bring him into the picture mostly to say, look, I have a down-to-earth image of what Freemasonry is.
Gotcha.
I'm going to talk to you about rituals. I'm going to talk to you about magic, but I know who Freemasons are. My father, he would call it gobbledygook. He didn't believe in anything that I would say, right?
But so let's explore a little bit more about Freemasons on a whole. Now, a lot of them, I guess you could say, are pretty lower-level sheeple. They don't get the true purpose in the upper echelons of Masonic traditions. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I'm good friends with the worshipful master here in town. He actually got my first video on corporate logos and their Masonic meanings. And next thing I know, a month later, he joined the lodge, worked his way up in no time to become worshipful master of the lodge. But he's broke. He's, you know, he's poorer than I am, and I'm pretty poor. And he just, you know, lives down the street from me. He's been a friend for years and years. Now he's in the lodge. He's trying to seek the mysteries. You see, they want you to come and investigate. They do not recruit. And this, I think, is one critical ingredient to their magic, is that you must come of your own free will and accord. They cannot ask you to join. And then you would petition to join, and they would decide whether they would accept you or not. Freemasonry on the outside is a fraternal order that, you know, sponsors hospitals, takes care of burnt children, the Shriners Hospital, Shriners Circus, and all of this. But they claim they are not a secret society, but a society with secrets. And when you start to dig into what those are, most Masons don't want to look. I guarantee you won't find 9 out of 10 Masons that have read Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, which is basically, in some ways, the Bible of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, where Albert Pike outlined all the different degrees. So consider what our leaders have done. All of them, you know, all of your police officers, all of your judges, your lawyers, your presidents, your senators, they've all sworn at this altar. And what they've done is they've gone into this dark blackened room guarded by a swordsman at the door. They've been dressed in some strange pajamas with their pant leg rolled up and their shirt sleeve pulled down. They've had a noose put around their neck and a blindfold wrapped around their face so that they can't see. And then they're guided forth through a death and resurrection ritual that they then swear, binding themselves on a Bible on an altar in front of the worshipful master, that they will not give away any of these encoded secrets that they've learned, binding themselves with no less penalty than to have their throat cut across and their tongues pulled out by their roots and buried at the rough sands of the sea. Horrific type of oaths. But most of these men, they get into this lodge and they fall asleep. You know, it's boring. It's very boring to sit there through these rituals that they just go through by rote. And they have to memorize and learn all of this. And so they get weeded out. But there are certain Masons that come in and they start to take on the esoteric arts. They start to study Manly P. Hall and Plato and start to get deeper into the mysteries and the mystery schools. And then these are led out into alternate rituals. And so they have side rituals where you would find in the York Rite Masonry you only have 3 degrees, but then you have a list of side degrees that can go up, some say, as far as 360 degrees. And then in the Scottish Rite, you have your 33 degrees. But there are also side degrees like the Royal Archmason or the Mark Mason and things that are out in deeper rituals. So who are the Masons? What do they think? Why do they do what they do? Their entire ritual is based upon the building of Solomon's temple. And you'll find as we look into the Ark of the Covenant that this is where Kabbalism also comes from. So when we look to Moses, now curious enough, Moses is in some realms considered Akhenaten, and we'll get to that when we get to Obama and Akhenaten. But Moses then goes up to the mount. He meets with the burning bush after witnessing a UFO. He's told how to craft the perfect electroconducting device. And if you read Graham Hancock's Sign and the Seal, you learn that the Ark of the Covenant is actually a weapon of mass destruction. And it had crystals and things inside encased in gold with acacia wood. And the Hebrews would leave this around and they would slaughter, or, you know, send out the rays of God to slaughter all of the people that they oppose. So this weapon of mass destruction, if you read Hancock's work, you'll see that they levitate while they carry it. There's electromagnetic effects. And when it was stolen, they actually suffered from what they called a withering disease, but what we, today we would call radiological or poisoning. And so now you have this weapon of mass destruction. It's been passed around. Finally, it comes back, and they say, okay, we need to house this thing. We need to put this in a safe place so that we can store it and then leave the Levites in charge. So they call upon King Hiram of Tyre. Now, curious note is that Zechariah Sitchin, in his 12th planet, says King Hiram of Tyre was taken off the planet, just like Ezekiel and Enoch. But most people don't catch that. It's one sentence in the book. But when you realize that King Hiram of Tyre was taken off world, and then he returns to help King Solomon build Solomon's temple, he brings with him this strange man. In the Bible, he's known as Hiram the Copper Worker, but in Freemasonry, he's known as Hiram Abiff. And he is the one that every Mason pretends to be in this death and resurrection ritual. Now, as you're resurrected as Hiram Abiff, the first thing they show you is a pentagram on the back of the wall, and they say this is Venus. Now, I challenge anyone to go look up the definition of Lucifer, and you will see that it is Venus. And we'll find many of these Luciferian connections to Freemasonry that they don't realize themselves. Even the Masons Knight and Lomas, as they're trying to investigate Masonic ritual, because Masons don't know what their rituals are for or why they do them. And these two, Knight and Lomas, are high Masons trying to discover this, and they've started to unveil certain encoded histories in these myths that are passed through ritual. And they even say that America has taken on this name because it's the name of the star the Templars followed, Murica, which is Venus. So America actually means Lucifer. So, you know, and we'll keep going with Lucifer as we get through this story. But what you'll realize, just to get back to the ancient story, that they had to build this ark or this temple to house the ark, and they got this strange man, Hiram, to be the architect. Now, he could be an extraterrestrial that came back with Hiram of, King Hiram of Tyre. And then he had the knowledge to be able to electroplate the walls in gold so that all the radiation that this Ark of the Covenant then housed could be contained. Then, of course, the temple is lost. And we see that then the Templars come about, and they become the next mystical rulers of the planet. And when we find that they seem to maybe have found the Ark of the Covenant, and then every king, prince, and potentate wanted to be a member of their order, willing to give up every bit of valuable material they have. They signed over their land, their gold, everything, over to the Templars, and they became the richest people in the world. So Friday the 13th, 1307, Pope Clement and King Philip come together, and they make an agreement, a pact, to say that the Templars are Satan, they're heretics, and that they should all be burnt at the stake. They made up this long list that they had, you know, spit on the cross, that they kissed each other on the anus, that they defiled the name of Jesus, and all of these things. And so on the 4th of July, they lost the Temple Mount. On Friday the 13th, they were slaughtered, or it was announced that they were to be slaughtered. What actually happened was they were given a three-year head start. So then they rushed off. They became the pirates with their skull and bones flag, and they became the Scottish Rite, New York Rite of Masonry up in England and Ireland and Scotland. They, you know, ran. But there was the symbolic martyred hero who is Jacques de Molay. And so now you have the de Molay boys, which Walt Disney was one. So was Bill Clinton. And you start to realize that within this coded story, within all of this, you can start to see what history is really about and what's going on today. So when we find that the Masons worship the Sirius star, the star of Sirius, and then they're called to the Gulf of Aden to help the Sirius star, the ship that's being pirated. This is all coded symbolic gestures that you can use to then determine what they're going to do. So the very next thing happens after they announce these pirates, they move all of the troops and all these ships, Japan, Iran, NATO, America, you name it, they're all in the Gulf of Aden right now. There seems to be some magnetic anomalies. And then they announce that there was a proto-Canaanite shard found that proves that the Ark of the Covenant is there in Yemen. And, you know, as you start to pull the pieces all together, this whole story, when you realize that Hitler was tracking the Ark of the Covenant and many of these ancient scrolls, when you realize that national parks like Nashville's capital is a seal of Solomon's to bind spirits, when you look into Solomon himself, you find that he's a lead magician that worshipped Shamash, he worshipped Asherah and Molech, and was performing rituals to call upon demons. Most magic grimoires come from Solomon's magic. And then they turn these into monuments on planet Earth. You can see I've done a film on the Nashville Capitol Mall and its connection to the Seal of Solomon to bind spirits. So am I kind of making sense here?
Oh, yeah. I just meant to tell you guys, it's a quick interruption. At 13 minutes after the hour, I took a big power hit, but luckily I was on UPC and we didn't lose the feed.
What's that?
What's that?
You lost power?
Yeah, our whole power went out, but I'm on a UPC system, so we didn't lose the phone call here. Anyhow, I don't know. It was pretty close to 13 minutes after the hour, but go ahead. I'm following this. This is great. Keep going here.
Okay, well, what a great radio show to listen to if the power goes out. Because, you know, you could light a candle, folks, if it's cold and snowing like it is for Steve in Colorado, cover up in a nice blanket by the fireplace and tune into this wonderful story that we're going through with our special guest tonight, Freeman. Freeman, let's get out your website one more time for our listeners. It is?
It is freemantv.com, freemantv.com.
Freeman. TV.com. How'd you get that name, Freeman?
Well, I was actually working at a restaurant, and there's been a lot of conjecture going along with the name Freeman. They're like, Freeman must be a Freemason because he couldn't give out this information. It's funny, too, because most people say, well, you know, if he wasn't inside, he'd be dead. I did die on the internet.
I've got a good buddy, by the way, who's probably listening right now, and, you know, he's the one who turned me on to you, actually. And he's the one who says that about you, that, you know, and I think some of your most hardcore fans are probably your most skeptical fans as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, the truth is I just fell into this and dropped into the system. I don't think there was much they could have done to shut me up. I already had hundreds of hours up before anyone could even realize who I am. The name Freeman actually came from a restaurant I was working at. I was server number 3, and I didn't appreciate that because I was their first employee and their top salesperson and the closer and the trainer, and I thought I should have been number 1. And so I stood up and said, I am not a number. I am a free man. And they put it on my name tag, and it stuck. So nothing too exciting about the name.
There's not some amazing conspiracy onto how you got the name?
No.
Nope.
That's it.
What a boring story.
Film The Prisoner.
Exactly, from The Prisoner, exactly.
Great old show, yeah.
Oh, The Prisoner, that was a great series. I highly recommend that. All right, number 6, let's continue.
You are on number 6.
Who is number 1?
So what I've done now is I've uncovered this method of deciphering the symbolic gestures, and I've been able to predict world events, even 9/11, the banking crash of 1013, W being forced into office, Obama not being a natural born citizen, all through watching the symbolic gestures that I understand because I've read the histories of Freemasonry and Templarism and have some clues to look at. And so I share that with everyone so that you can then see exactly the symbolic gestures that lead to what we're going through. And then you can predict the future. So if you want some examples, 9/11 is a classic.
Let's start with 9/11 and work our ways up to what you may see in the future occur.
So as I was watching with Bill Clinton, and I'm watching the whole Y2K ritual, and I'm telling people about the DOD and FEMA saying, hey, you should have 3 days of food and water in your house, and they're all looking at me like I have a third head. And they're like, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. When you're coming from your government, folks, you know, FEMA and DOD are telling you to have 3 days of food and water. You might want to at least think about it, right? But that's the incredulous nature that we're at. But the truth of the matter is that wasn't even my concern. I would have been happy had the world melted down on that day. My concern was that the Freemasons were capping the Great Pyramid with gold that day. Now, to me, this was a massive symbolic gesture on their part, because as you've seen on the dollar bill, the eye of the pyramid floats above it. And that is a work in progress. And, of course, it tells you that it is the new world order and that God is smiling on their works. And it even has a coated mason in there if you put the other triangle in it. But when they cap the Great Pyramid with gold, then that's the symbol of the Novo Ordo Seclorum's completion. And that, to me, was the scary moment. Now, what had happened, though, was that the headline in USA Today read, Muslims stop the Freemasons from capping the Great Pyramid with gold. That was the headline on the USA Today. So I'm showing this to people, and they're still going, yeah, you're just crazy. When you watch the entire ritual, you realize it's the ritual of the Aeon of Horus. And this is the Aeon that Aleister Crowley wanted to bring into the planet. He had contacted, channeled an entity known as a wasp, because once again, ceremonial magic is all about invoking or evoking entities, ethereal beings, gods, demons, angels, whatever you want to call them, because like you have Enochian magic with John Dee and Edward Kelly, where they were channeling angels in the angelic script. Aleister Crowley claimed to be channeling an Atlantean, and you will find that Atlantis plays heavily into this entire story. That's why your rockets are called Atlas. That's the king of Atlantis. That's why the space shuttles are known as the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, and that our nation really is the new Atlantis.
Wow.
So Aleister Crowley in the pyramid channels the Book of the Law, which is housed at the UT campus, and he then invokes this new era, this new Aeon of Horus. And so we watch as the Brotherhood, you know, remember Bill Clinton's De Molay, he never really made it up in Freemasonry, but he was just a puppet. His wife, if we can call her that, was really in charge of him.
Well, he just happened to read a great Carol Quigley novel.
Yes.
In which he just happened to realize that, you know, he could become a Rhodes Scholar and so forth.
It's bloodline. It's bloodline. You know, he's a Windsor. He's he's straight down from royalty. But he was really a mind control slave. If you watch my Anna Nicole Brittany and Mind Control DVD, you will see Bill Clinton under mind control.
Well, we'll get into that when we talk about the pop culture side to all this.
Yes. Well, I'll just finish the symbolic gestures real fast.
Can I quickly stop you and ask
a question
about the Atlantis thing in regards to our spaceships? A thought just came to mind. A lot of times these sick people use sacrifices, or they ritualistic sacrifices. And I'm wondering if some of these crafts that blew up and we lost many astronauts and really scarred a lot of people perhaps were ritualistic?
Okay, Jet Propulsion Laboratories, the one that sent us up into space, was headed by Jack Parsons, who was a high occult, even self-proclaimed head of the Ordo Templi Orientis. And that was the mystery school that Aleister Crowley took over and rearranged into Thelema, or the Aeon of Horus. And so our entire background on the space program is the occult. And that's something people need to realize, is that Satanists are big into the occult and space travel. You've got to start getting that clear. So when we look at the space program, yes, from beginning to end, it is occult. And yes, when you start to realize that every Mason or every astronaut that's gone into space has sworn on the altar, you know, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, ask every one of them, they're all Masons. They wear their Mason rings. Buzz Aldrin brought back the flag, the Supreme Council seal that he brought to the moon with him. I've seen it at the Temple of the 33rd. Okay, so the two launches that died, the Challenger and the Columbia, are very curious in their symbolic nature, in that, you know, when you look at the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, Challengers will be destroyed, right? And then Columbia is their sacrificial goddess. Columbia is the owl. Columbia, not Molech. Columbia is the owl. And the goddess is always there for the sacrifice. And I can show you a hundred pictures. They will all be up on my website. I'm getting that ready now, of this goddess and her sacrifice. And so you've got the sacrifice of Columbia with the Columbia shuttle. Now, the curious note is that both of these launches had profane or non-initiates on board. So there's a clue as to proper, a possible ritual sacrifice, because they had non-initiates on board of both those space shuttles. You know, they had the teacher. And so, yeah.
They had the teacher, and then on the other one, they had, I believe it was an Indian lady and some other.
I can't remember from the Challenger.
Yeah, there was also some other folks, but I do remember that as well. And the reason why I stopped you there to ask that question is because this stuff all seems to fit like a puzzle.
It does.
Yes, it does.
All right, let's get back into where we were going with this, though. I want to let you finish your thought there.
Okay, so they're engineering the Aeon of Horus, who is the dark hero. He's the vengeful hero. He's the son of Isis that avenges his father Osiris. And as they did this whole Y2K ritual, the next thing they did was burn the river Styx to the speed of the sun. This was an allusion to the river Styx in the underworld. And then they had the sun rise in the west, as Bill Clinton announced, it is a rising sun. And this, again, are symbols of Horus. And so the entire Y2K ritual from beginning to end was nothing but a massive high-profile ritual to Horus. So as I'm watching this go down, I see then they bring Bill Clinton up as the sacrificial lamb over the Monica Lewinsky extramarital sexual affair, right? Even bringing the president in front of the public and bringing up the fact that he inserted a cigar into Monica. Now, here's Bill Clinton turning purple on television, constantly asking for bathroom breaks and just trying to get out of the ridicule as much as he can. Now, any of us that are Americans, we know we don't do this to our president. For one thing, national security effects, right? You don't do this to your president because he needs to be the king. He needs to be strong. We've covered up affairs of almost every president. There's not a single one that hasn't been out there at the Bohemian Grove doing some sexual affairs. And we keep that type of thing covered. So when they brought Bill Clinton out, I said, this is psychological warfare. This is for the people. They've just brought in the first president that's the man of the people. He's playing the saxophone on David Letterman, and everybody loves him. And now they're going to sacrifice him over something that most people don't even consider a crime. You know, having sex with your secretary, whatever. It's not an impeachable offense. And impeach the man, right? So as I see this as psychological warfare, I say, okay, where are they going? They're heading for World War III. Albert Pike, the very man I was talking about who wrote Morals and Dogma, also outlined all three wars. And you can just look up Albert Pike and World War III. And you will see the plan as it unfolds. And he had it right for each one of this, and this was written in the 1870s, so realize how long ago this was planned. Then you get to the point where you're seeing this unfolding. And so when the psychological warfare of taking down the man, the president, the next step in the psychological warfare of us, you know, of the people of America, would be to force a man into office. So I said, the next president's going to be forced into office. And then I hear this rumbling of W. And now I had just completed my corporate logo study, and I'd been through the pentagram of Texaco, the shell of shell, the double cube, the Templar cross of Exxon, and on I can go. You know, the sun sign of Target, the pentagram of Walmart, on and on with these Masonic occult symbols. And then get to Phillips 66 and go, well, what's this? Why 66? What does this mean? Open a Kabbalist dictionary and look up 66, and you find it's the number of the dark side. Now, how does 66 equate with W in Hebrew? Because this is Kabbalism, Hebrew mysticism. You got to translate to Hebrew. 6 equals V. And so then you find that 66 is W. When I figured that out, it opened this whole new portal of symbolism to me. Because now I saw a Volkswagen logo, and I realized that that's a VV, that's a 66, but they coded it by crossing the two Vs, making three V's, therefore being 666 in Hebrew. And Hitler was absolutely a fan of Madame Blavatsky and into theosophy and this occult study of the Hebrew magic. So when you see Hebrew mysticism being performed by Hitler, and he designed the Volkswagen for the car of the people, and then it has an encoded 666, that's the meaning of W. And that's the W is the symbol of the dark side. And so when Hitler came out, and his canted swastika is also, you know, Columbia Sportswear's logo, and is also a symbol of Horus. To have the square canted as he did. You know how the swastika was originally straight and used in India,
right.
And then he canted it. Well, the canted square goes back to Freemasonry. It's a symbol that they use, and the Freemasons in the Nazi Lodge were known as the Freemasons of the Strict Observance, who followed what they knew as the secret leader or their unknown leader. So Masonry is involved in all of this, and then, of course, the Nazis just came over here. And then you're going to find merfolk all over America, and that's another allusion to Atlantis. But when we get to the full picture and you start to see, okay, so now I decoded W, and said, okay, this is the symbol of the dark side. They're going to force this man into office, and they're going to let everybody know it so that they're all mad about it, because that's the whole game plan. You got to be angry about it so you'll react with your reptilian brain, right? So W was forced into office, as I predicted. Now, throughout the whole Bill Clinton era, they had been trying to pass what we now know as the Homeland Security or Patriot Act. That was going on during Bill Clinton. You can see I have it linked on my website when it was being trying to pass that back. So I'm following the Homeland Security bill, saying they are going to need a major terrorist attack or a false flag event to pull this off. And every month or every September throughout the Bill Clinton era, I kept waiting for a false flag event to pull this off. And I expected it to be in the middle of September, because the bill comes to pass on October 1st. And so every middle of September, I kept waiting. Then I started to learn more and more about symbolism and numerology, and I realized that there was a meaning to this number, 9/11. And, of course, it was when HW announced the New World Order for the first time publicly on 9/11/1990 that I really came in to start to look into that number. Now, 9/11 is not – you'll find it encoded in all these different movies, and all, you know, everyone's saying, look how long they've been talking about this event. 9/11 is a magical symbol of its own. It has power of its own. The ritual of the sacrifice on 9/11 was because it was the number 9/11. The Twin Towers cornerstones were dated to 9/11. The Pentagon's cornerstone was dated to 9/11. And both of these cornerstones were placed there by Masons that were casting corn, wine, and oil and calling upon entities to go into that proper building. Research Freemasonry and their cornerstone rituals. You'll see what I'm talking about. Just like George Washington laid the cornerstone on the White House on 10/13. Then I ended up using that symbolic nature to predict the next event, which was the banking crash on 10/13. But so when W was forced into office, that was it for me. I said, okay, this will be the year. This will be the year they do this, and it'll be 9/11. So then I told everyone, hey, there's going to be a major terrorist attack on 9/11. Don't freak out. This is all for your reaction. And everyone that watched and witnessed this then came to my door that morning and said, how did you know? How did you know? I had this whole line of people out my door. And I said, know what? I don't have television. I had no idea what was going on. So they finally told me what had happened, but I honestly didn't see the planes hit the Twin Towers for a good week and a half until later. I had to go find a friend with the television and actually catch it. So here I had predicted the very event but didn't see it. But the people at my door on that day, on 9/11, were standing there with their $20 bills folded to show the Twin Towers burning. Have you seen this?
Yeah. I haven't been able to fold it like that, but I've seen it done. Yeah, it's amazing. You can do it with the 5, the 10, and a whole bunch of dollar bills and denominations, can't you?
Well, you do it from the 5 to the 100, and it gives you the exact scenario. So the first one, the 5, shows you the Twin Towers. The 10 shows the first strike. Perfectly. The 20 shows the first strike and the second strike, and then if you flip it over, it's got the Pentagon getting hit. And you can see all these bills on my website. I got film of it under my 9/11 prediction article. And then the 50 shows the towers missing, and the 100 just has a wisp of smoke. So the entire scenario was drawn out on the bills, and those were changed in 1996. which just happens to be the same year they put the Seal of Solomon out in front of the Nashville Capitol. Seal of Solomon to bind spirits is what that is. So, you know, here on the day of 9/11, here's all these people with their bills folded. And I said, well, how do you know that? Because I'm a diehard conspiracy researcher, and I knew what I was talking about. But these guys, they don't know anything. How do you know about folding that bill? And they said, well, it was all over the Internet. Well, they want you to know these things. And as I opened this thing with that, you had to come of your own free will and accord. That's the main ingredient here that we're dealing with. They always use some tactic to get our free will agreement. And that's the spiritual aspect that we can defy. And so as long as we don't fall for their acts of prestidigitation, even if they do take 3,000 lives, we have to forgive them. We have to ignore it. We have to move on. Or we're following their game plan. So we're going to watch now as 9/11 Truth brings down America. And this is why you're seeing Ahmadinejad coming out as a 9/11 truther. You know,
yeah.
Study the 9/11 Truth Commission. They're mostly eugenicists. It's, you know, this is all in the plan. So the next thing after they forced the president into office was to make the president ineligible. And so I said W would be the last American president, therefore predicting that Obama or the next president, I don't know who it would be ineligible for presidency. And so now the birther movement, of course, is out there. And this was to bring about a constitutional convention. So when you realize the stage play, that you're, that's all you're watching, that these presidents are not anything, they're not men of power, they don't do anything, they're facial heads, and they're planned and conditioned and even created, as we'll get to do and fulfill this brotherhood's dream of enacting this new Atlantis.
Wow. Freeman, let me ask you a question real quick. Okay, that's I think what you're talking about is probably very feasible. I mean, we're seeing with the health care bill a lot of talk about constitutionality and the whole situation with all these attorney generals, you know, state attorney generals filing lawsuits. And coupled with the 9/11 truth movement, coupled with the birther movement, you know, even though I could say I'm a very strong supporter of the states' rights movement and the 9th and 10th Amendment evocations, I am concerned that the country is about to come apart here. You see where I'm going with this? I mean, am I wrong in saying that something's not quite right with all this? It's almost like they're trying to take apart the country. Is that it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the critical ingredient to what I do. So I'm trying to tell people beforehand so that they can see the play. My goal is not to tell you what they're going to do in order to stop it, because we're not an opposition. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to be the fighters. We want to be those that transcend and change. And so that's why I would do something like predict the date 10/13, so that everyone after that asked me, well, what's the next 9/11? And I said it will be 10/13. And I should have realized at that point that it would be a banking crisis. I mean, that should have been obvious. And the symbolism of 10/13, realized that's Chris Carter's production company, right?
Yeah.
And he showed you 9/11 before it happened in the pilot episode of The Lone Gunman.
Yeah.
10/13 is the day, the infamous Friday the 13th, that the Templars were then considered heretics. Friday the 13th, Pope Ratzinger, or Pope Benedict, and Benedict is where the Templars come from. That's why he took that title, because it was Benedict's rule that created the Templars. He then met with George W. Bush on Friday the 13th. And then on Hitler's birthday, he went to Ground Zero. Then when Bush returned to visit the Pope at the Vatican, they met in St. John's Tower. St. John is the patron saint of the Templars and Freemasons. So they're doing all of these coded references. Then the Pope comes out and he says, we now exonerate the Templars of all of their prior grievances. We found them to be exonerated because I found this secret document. Now, it turns out that Pope Ratzinger, who comes from Bavaria and was a Nazi youth, was investigating the Illuminati and the Templars while he was head of Inquisition with the Vatican. And now that he's Pope, he suddenly comes out and says, oh, you know, we found this 600-year-old document that exonerates the Templars.
Yeah.
And then he does all these Templar symbolic gestures with W. And so it was that code that showed me the next step. And that is that on the 4th of July, which is the day the Templars lost the Temple Mount, that will be the day that the Pope is going to make a move on the Temple Mount and spark this holy war. So, yes, America is being dismantled from within. We're conditioned and prepared to be the shopping mall slash theme park of the world. We're not to produce anything, and that's why they've been moving all the production out. We've been set up as 10 regions with under the UN, and now Obama has come out and established that he's going to make 10 regional governors, 5 that will be of his own choice, and I'm still waiting to see if he puts old Nazi Schwarzenegger in power. So we see as they start to form this new system, and we're all kind of left in the dark about it all, and Obama has come out as this great savior, even saying that he came from, that his father Jor-El sent him here to save planet Earth, making himself Superman, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the next scheduled invasion is asteroids.
Yeah.
And so that is the next part of the plan to bring in the whole UN domination, along with the crushing of America through what we'll have is our American Nuremberg trials. And you'll see that W and HW have already bought 120,000 acres in Paraguay next to where Mengele built a town of twins. Then you know what our Nazis are going to do. They're just going to escape and go be whatever, wherever. And we'll get the Nuremberg varsity like they did before. And the fall guy will take the fall, just like Guy Fawkes. But the true perpetrators will escape. I mean, they're not.
So the rat run will get these people out, so to speak, just like they did with at least 30,000 SS people in Germany, including Klaus Barbie, Dr. Mengele, who one of our guests had pointed out was actually in the United States doing eugenic studies after the war, so many others. And so you're saying that Bush and his old man, the old dragon himself, will probably escape. A number of these people will be rat-run out to the places like Paraguay, and then we'll have, the phony trials of the upper non-existence-lings, as the fall guys as they did with Nuremberg. That's kind of the same scenario then, right?
Exactly. I mean, we're playing the Reichstag. We're playing all of the same Nazi games. Even Obama, he went to the Kennedy Honors Awards, and I'm jumping to high rituals here, but he went to the Kennedy Honors Awards with where they were honoring Mel Brooks. And next thing you know, they have Adolf Hitler coming down doing Springtime with Hitler and all these Nazis up on stage with Barack and Michelle in attendance with the honorees. And they just did a full-on Nazi ritual right in front of us. And it's blatant now. It's so blatant in front of us. Even Obama's logo, that rising sun, once again, is a symbol of Horus, which they've now put on the missile defense shield as well. And you'll start to see this. It's the same as the Nazi swastika. It's just no different.
So all this stuff goes really way back to Egypt. It goes way back to Kabbalah, the Babylonian Talmud, up through the Templars, and of course, as you mentioned, the Benedict or Ratzinger, as he's better known, really. He invited all these old Masons back into the church, officially now. And of course, we've got a lot of these occultic organizations, the Jesuits, the Knights of Malta with their Maltese cross and the Black Nobility. There's so many things that are buzzing through my head here, Freeman. Hey, by the way, let's get out your website one more time. It's freemantv.com, right?
Absolutely.
FreemanTV.com.
You'll find it.
In case people don't get a chance to hear the whole broadcast, I don't want them to miss that. So go to FreemanTV.com. I went there. They've got a lot of great videos up there. All this stuff is covered in great videos. But anyhow, getting back to the subject, you're talking about a lot of enclaves of these occultic organizations with Freemasonry and with government structures, and they're all moving in, it seems like, together, and they're coming together. Is there kind of a black awakening coming, or what's happening, do you think?
Well, that's where it gets a little scary at some levels because of the idea of this invoking entities into people. And as strange as all that seems to everyone, but all of these men that have been to the altar, I'm not saying they're all possessed or anything, but we have to start to question what their motivations are. Now, as one classic example, I was at the IMF WTO protest in Washington, D.C., this was right after the Seattle fiasco,
right,
where they shot everyone with rubber bullets and tear gas and even some symbolic things there too, with the chase to Capitol Hill, and there were some very interesting things they did. But I decided to go challenge those riot squads myself, and I went to D.C. for the WTO IMF protest, which, when you see that 500,000 people have gathered in the middle of our nation's capital to say they're opposed to something, it really doesn't matter, does it? You know, we need to move beyond the idea of telling our masters we don't like what they're doing. We got to simply, you know, do what we need to do instead, just start living life instead of attacking. But so as we're standing there and we're all coming down after the protests, walking back downtown, a line of riot squads just blocked off everyone, or 600 people on this one block. There were 1,000 or more of us on the other side. They're just standing there watching, but the riot squads just trapped these random people, and they held them there for 6 hours. And there were young boys in there, little old ladies, Japanese tourists, you name it, anyone that was walking down the street. And so I'm yelling at these riot squads about these people's constitutional rights, and they're not even giving me a hoot. They're not looking at me one bit. But so I yell at them in my Masonic knowledge. I say, how many of you are widow's sons?
Yeah.
And widow's son is a code for Freemason. Every one of their heads looked at me, including the lieutenants and sergeants and everyone.
Wow.
So, you know, to me, that's just a big clue as to who they think they are and who they think we are.
Yeah.
Because we're the profane, right? In their book, we're called the profane.
That's astounding, because as you say, you know, the thing is so steeped inside all kinds of structures, you know, everything from the education department all the way through the news media, all the way through the police force, local, municipal, all the way into constitutional, the Congress people and everything that's there. And, you know, so the question is, you know, I've been somewhat suspicious, as a lot of members of program that listen, you know, our show, listen to Freeman, and of what's happening with the truth movement. And I've been really kind of concerned about the fact that there's so much information out there and yet nothing's happening. And I've questioned this for a long time. What do you think's happening with the truth movement and the alternative media and all of us folks out here hoping to try to see a change back to sanity? What's going on with us? Or are we being misdirected?
Yes. Unfortunately, it's true. And as I was saying, the whole idea of Obama not being a citizen, W being forced into office, 9/11 being an inside job, these are all conspiracies within the conspiracy that you're supposed to follow and be angry about. It's no chance that they just threw out this passport out of a burning building or brought up all these impossible events and mismanaged the whole 9/11 thing so poorly that we could all figure it out so easily that even perhaps a kindergarten student might be able to, you know, discredit the whole official theory, right?
Right.
They made it so obvious, so easy. And so, yes, and on that level, we are all being used because we're trained to believe in this thing we call nation. And what is the truth of it is that's never existed. These guys have always been international, and they just used nation to get us to do their bidding, once again, by our own free will agreement. And the other part is that the truth movement isn't ready for the truth.
Yeah.
And that's another difficult thing to say, but when, you know, when I went on Alex Jones, he told me now, you know, don't make any predictions and don't talk about being the North American Intergalactic Rainbow Ambassador and, you know, don't talk about flying saucers or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
and so you'll see that I did everything he told me not to.
Yeah.
I know I predicted 10/13, and I stood strong behind it,
right.
Just like
let's go over this again, okay, because this is a great part of this.
Yeah.
Alex Jones, Mr. Open-minded, anti-tyranny spokesperson, gatekeeped you before you even went on a show telling you you couldn't say this, this, and this, correct?
Well, he didn't say I couldn't say it. He was honestly, I mean, from my opinion, now I've hung out with Alex a few times. I wouldn't call us friends, but we know each other. And so I've always stood behind him saying he's not an insider. He's just doing the wrong thing. You know, he's attacking, and he shouldn't be attacking. He shouldn't be creating fanatical victims. And so that's where I take issue with Alex. But,
okay, but
I don't,
he basically suggested.
Right. He was, in my opinion, what he was doing was giving me his fatherly advice. He was like, Freeman, now, if you want to make it in the biz, this is what you can't do. You know, so it's more a matter of people are afraid to put their reputation.
To be fair here, you know, when you come on our show, and it's not like we're the most credible talk show or have the largest audience, but I didn't give you a list of things to say or not to say. I mean, I don't understand how a host can do that or even suggest that you do that, because that's the whole problem with the mainstream media in the first place, is that they create these things that are taboo, where you get this sniffing of where not to go and where to go. It's not really a necessary blatant thing that says you can't talk about this, but you get an idea of what to bring up that is considered, quote, credible and not credible. And I'm sorry.
Right. Right, me too. And that's why I baldly did everything he told me not to do. And, you know, I'm constantly right, so I'm not afraid of saying what I feel. You know, I've been talking about the cloning of mummies since, my childhood, but on live on television for 5 years already. You know, I'm not afraid to talk about these type of things, because when you start to study real history, when you start to go, I went to Kansas University, studied ancient architecture. I know darn well that we cannot build the pyramids. It's just physically impossible. Not only that, we can't even conceive of building Baalbek, Lebanon, which has stones that are 1,200, 800, 1,200 tons. These are the size of trains. We have no cranes to move these stones, yet there they are, sitting there for us to look at in Baalbek, Lebanon, in the ancient Mayan pyramids, and all of these ancient structures of Peru. There are technologies that are so advanced that we don't understand them from our ancient past. And that's where you've got to begin, because that's where the brotherhood begins.
This is an absolutely absolutely fascinating show on Truth Be Told Radio tonight with our special guest, Freeman. His website is freeman.tv. Freeman, we're going to take a break. We're out here, freemantv.com. There it is, freemantv.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Truth Be Told Radio. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Too much pain, too much suffering. Dreams of the start all over, make a new beginning.
No more gatekeeping.
Don't get me wrong.
Let's lie down in preparation for.
All right, folks, you've heard of the film HIV equals AIDS Factor Fraud. I'm now joined with the producer of that film, Steve Starrs. How you doing, Steve?
Good, Bob. Thanks for putting in a mention for the film. We're glad to get it out. It's on the web. You can watch it for free, but if you want to get a good, clean copy of the DVD, go to AIDSfraudvideo.com, AIDSfraudvideo.com. You can also get a download there and help us out a little bit. We're doing programs like we're doing tonight with your help, friends. That's all that's in it for us, and so we're glad to have Freeman on and so many other people, but if you want to help us out, AIDSfraudvideo.com. Thanks, Bob.
Listening to Truth Be Told Radio. On Revolution Broadcasting at revolutionbroadcasting.com.
And at our website, theylie.com. We're now joined back with our special guest, Freeman. Yeah, Freeman, I got a rep of messing up our guest websites. That's why I usually ask them to give them out, because by the end of the show, I'll be giving out 15 different web addresses, which will not be correct. But, Freeman, you're such a big name in the biz, so to speak, that anybody can Google you and find tons of stuff and info. Of course, Freeman has been gracious enough to join us. here on the show. We're back live on Revolution Broadcasting, and Steve Sarz is my co-host. Steve, I'm going to let you pipe up for a little bit here, and then we're going to get into, on this hour of the show, ritualistic, high-profile rituals. Wow, what a tongue twister that was. High-profile rituals, how Obama is a clone, and what was the other thing that we mentioned? Oh, yeah, what Freeman suggests we can do about the situation we're in to get us out of this horrific mess and to, you know, not support these criminal, satanic people who are really in control of things at the moment, unfortunately, or seemingly in control of things. Or maybe they're not in control of things. Maybe we're in control of things. I don't know. We'll talk about that and so much more. Freeman, are you with us, buddy?
Absolutely.
Good.
Okay, great.
Good. Well, I'd pipe up, but I just let you continue, Freeman, because I'm fascinated with everything you're saying here about what's been going on and so many of these occultic signs, so many of these Freemason signs. I'm sure you've seen Riddles in Stone. It's a good film. Ralph Epperson's got some good books. He's been on our show a couple of times, but I think you've done probably outperformed just about everybody that's out there in locating so many of these things that are just common day, everyday usages in symbols and logos, which it carries so much significance these days. So I'm just going to back out and let you go ahead and keep talking about whatever you think.
Let me ask you a question before you do that.
Okay.
Do you know who Jay-Z is?
Jay-Z?
Yeah.
No, I don't know Jay-Z.
Do you know who Lady Gaga is?
Oh, Lady Gaga. Yeah, I kind of got an impression of Lady Gaga. She keeps popping up as sort of a Howard Stern-type lady, isn't she? Or I'm not really sure, but...
No. Do you know who Britney Spears is?
Oh, yeah, Britney Spears. Uh-huh.
How about Madonna?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Freeman, connect the dots here. What's going on with all these folks?
Well, you see how he doesn't know yet of Lady Gaga and Jay-Z. Because what happens is we don't have people rising to the top. There is a filter at the top of the occult that you have to pass through in order to become one of these pop icons.
Yeah.
So it's not thanks to their talent, that much is apparent, that these stars rise to the top.
Right.
When you start to piece it together, what you'll realize is that we have here are our ritual goddesses and gods. They are our icons, our celebrities, and they are performing high-profile rituals out in the public to bring about a more major ritual. So as you start to unfold the picture, like Britney, Madonna, and Christina Aguilera, they're all at the... I think it was VMA or MTV, I forgot now, awards. And Madonna comes down in a top hat, walking down 13 steps, which is the number of the goddess. Her top hat and white gloves are symbolic of being the worshipful master of the lodge. She comes dressed in black where the other girls are dressed in white, and they come down and they have a ritual kiss. And at this point, Madonna basically passing her Madonnaship on to Britney. Then Madonna takes on the name Esther. Esther is one of the positions within the Eastern Star, which is the female version of Freemasonry.
Sure.
That's not to say men couldn't belong as well. But my mother was actually Esther in the Eastern Star. So Madonna's no longer Madonna. She's now Esther, and she's gone off and starts doing high rituals with the rabbis at cemeteries in Israel and leaves Britney in charge. But Britney flips, right?
Right.
She's not. Now, the curious thing about both of these girls, Britney and Christina Aguilera, and even Madonna, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, the list goes on and on, they're all mouth-catiers. They're all Disneyites, right?
Yeah.
So they're high ritual profile goddesses coming up out of Disney. Now, Disney has slipped under the noose of all of this in the Christian to even stand strong, you know, family programming.
Yeah, not even knowing. Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. You know, I could get deep into Disney movies and what the family is being programmed into, but let's not. But what they are doing on a high scale are these profile rituals. So when the Super Bowl happens and Janet Jackson has her wardrobe malfunction with Justin Timberlake, Mouseketeer, she bares her breast and it has a gold sundial on it. Now, this is the golden sun is the god, and the bared breast is the goddess. So we're seeing the hermaphroditic symbolism there. this goes on and gets deeper as we start into our modern era. Now, this was kind of now with Britney, I did a good 4 hours on Britney. I could go into her with Mind Control and Anna Nicole, because I was following that whole puzzle. And as you start to learn the idea of satanic ritual abuse, one that came out, or a couple of them, there was Arizona Wilder and Kathy O'Brien, and then the one that was owned by Bryce Taylor, whose handler was, Bob Hope. Yes, thank you. We start to see that there are these ritual goddesses. You had Marilyn Monroe, you had Anna Nicole, you had Britney, Madonna. They're ritual goddesses, and they keep being passed through these rituals. Britney, like Arizona Wilder came out and said that they were all reptilians doing these satanic ritual abuses, that they transform into reptiles and eat people, right? That the Queen, Zechariah Sitchin, and a number of other high elites are all reptilians. But she gave us some other clues as well. Now, I don't know, I'm not so sure. You know, the reptilian thing seems like it could be true. I haven't discounted that yet. But she tells the tale of how she tried to escape the Mothers of Darkness. And what she did was dye her blonde hair brown. And then when that didn't work, she shaved her head. And this is Arizona Wilder that did this to escape the Mothers of Darkness. So then we see Britney going in, and she goes into Esther's hair salon, and she shaves all her hair off, saying, I don't want them touching me anymore. I don't want them plugging things into me. And at the same time, you see that she's shaving off brown hair, just like Arizona Wilder dyed her blonde hair brown, because they want their ritual goddesses to be blonde and blue-eyed. So she shaves her head, and then she comes out, and you can see the look on her face that she really felt like she had escaped her handler. She was trying to break free of all this, because what you'll find is about 30 the mind control slaves tend to start lose their programming, and they have to kill them off. And you'll find this in all the 27 Club, right? Jim Morrison, Mama Katz, all the ones that died right before they were 30. So here's Britney coming up on her 26th birthday, and she starts to wig out and saying they're programming her, putting things in her mind. She goes then into an institution and scrawls 666 on her forehead, screaming she's the Antichrist, and tries to commit suicide by hanging herself. Now, if you play Disney's latest songs, or Britney, they bring her back out. They bring her out in what they call circus, and there's all kinds of symbolism in that. And she's, of course, wearing the top hat, and she comes out, and you listen to the songs that she's playing, and if you reverse it, it actually says slit your wrist. It'll only hurt a little bit. But the suicide programming is blatant. You know, you'll see this in all the Lady Gaga videos and the Beyonce videos and the Jay-Z videos and the Eminem videos. They're either murdering their friends or committing suicide. Britney commits suicide in her video while wearing the red Kabbalistic bracelet. And then she's reborn again into another body.
Now, here's a question that comes to mind. How do you keep track of all this crap if you don't have a TV like many of us?
Yeah, it seems to come to me. That's the curious, miraculous part of this whole story, and what we'll get to in the ending is the miraculous life. And it seems the universe just wants me to know these things, and I'll turn on the TV. At that point I did have a TV, or I'll just turn on a movie, or I'll pick up the news, and anything, it just happens to correlate with what I'm studying. So I already had an 8-page article written before Anna Nicole was brought into the courtroom in that clown makeup. So I had already been outlining and lining up this whole story of the satanic ritual abuse. And what we'll find with Anna Nicole is that they were actually trying to raise a moon child. And when you realize who Anna Nicole's baby Danny Glenn actually is, it gets really strange.
Wow.
Because what we'll see is bloodlines, of course, the necessary bloodlines. And to me, this is a key ingredient to channeling the proper entities. So they need a particular, like the movie Avatar, they needed the genetic copy of the soldier, the twin brother, because he was already coded DNA genetically to the Avatar. And in the same way, ritual magic, certain bloodlines are more receptive to particular entities. And so that's why the bloodlines are selected like they are. And when we look to Anna Nicole, what we find is that this was a massive ritual that actually predicted the war with Iran. And when you start to unfold the picture, we won't get into the whole thing. You can watch my video on it. But you'll quickly see that Anna Nicole was selected. She was chosen because she was richly abused as a child. Her mother was a police officer, her brother a federal agent, both of them still living together, the mom and son, and Anna Nicole claiming that they richly abused her, sexually abused her as a child. Then she comes out and they take her from her boyfriend, I can't think of his name, and they give her over to this 98-year-old man, J. Howard Marshall, right? Now, J. Howard Marshall is a Nazi oil tycoon, you know, with $1 billion. And they hook up this ritual goddess with this 90-year-old man that they know is going to die. I mean, he's 98 years old. But the money that he had, the $1 billion, that was not for Anna Nicole. That was for the ritual moonchild, which was yet to be born. So then Anna Nicole, admittedly by all the people involved, was passed around in numerous sexual rituals. One of the main people to come out to discuss this was Prince Frederick von Anhalt. Now, Prince Frederick von Anhalt was one of the strangest claimants to being Anna Nicole's father of Anna Nicole's baby. You had Larry Birkhead, everyone thought was the father, and he did eventually end up with the baby. You had Howard K. Stern, which no one really thought he was the father. He was just the weird lawyer that slept on the couch. But there was much shenanigans going on there. And then we have this guy who comes out, Prince Frederick von Anhalt, and he says, I am the father of Danny Lynn. I am the father of that baby. Now, the reason now a lot of people were claiming this as well was the $1 billion
sure.
that the baby was soon to inherit, right?
Yeah, right.
But Prince Frederick really was a mind blower, because let's think of who he is. As you start to look into Prince Frederick's history, you find one that he was married to Zsa Zsa Gabor. And she was the second one, or the first presidential model mind control slave. So you have Zsa Zsa Gabor, then you have Marilyn Monroe, then you have Anna Nicole. And so here's Prince Frederick married to Zsa Zsa Gabor, who was known to be a presidential mind control slave. And he keeps her locked up in his mansion with a padlock while doing sexual rituals with Anna Nicole. All of this admitted, straightforward, straight news. So then you look into Prince Frederick's ancestry, and you find that he's actually most likely a boy from Brazil. The genetic experiment of artificial in vitro fertilization from Hitler's semen into Gretel Braun's womb, giving the closest that they could come to of a baby of Hitler and Eva Braun, which then turns out to be Prince Frederick von Anhalt. So now he's claiming, so he's now a direct descendant of Hitler through a genetic experiment by the Nazis, and he has given birth to this girl, Danny Lynn. Now Danny Lynn is born. 3 days after her birth, the boy, her brother, Daniel, comes into the hospital room, drops dead. Wonder why? No one knows. But we have a ritual sacrifice going on. 3 days. Three is the number of the goddess. And you'll find that, so the Danny Smith is brought into the hospital room, dies 3 days after the birth of the baby, with the baby in front of him.
Wow. Amazing stuff. Is that Britney?
I never actually watched that show.
Yeah, but did you hear what they said in the theme song? That was the theme song to her show. And they said in that theme song, she married a billionaire and blah, 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 blah. Hey, it basically went into the story a little bit about some of the things you touched on. And I had to play that to sort of aid to the ridiculous nature almost of this. I mean, it's so ridiculous, Freeman, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. It brings wonder to the world when you start to look at it this way. And yeah, it's ridiculous. And now it's blatant, you know, as we get to Lady Gaga, you'll see. But just to complete that real fast, what 3 months after the death of Daniel Smith, and three months after the baby was born, Danny Lynn, then Anna Nicole drops dead in front of the baby. This is a ritual of the sacrifice of the firstborn and the goddess, making her a moon child. They're trying to invoke an entity into this baby, and now the baby has been given $1 billion by a Nazi oil tycoon. We'll get, you know, if you watch my video, you'll see deep how the Jamaica played into this whole story and everything. It's a crazy story when you follow it the way you should.
Yeah, you mean the Bahamas?
Yeah, the Bahamas, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Astounding. All these people are very high-profile entertainers, and we hear a lot about these stories, Michael Jackson included and everything like that. Of course,
oh, no. I'm sure we can talk about and as well. Let's get to Freeman, I'll let you take us to our next line of pop culture, because as you said, this Lady Gaga stuff, it's just getting pretty darn blatant. I mean, they're just full-out showing,
Jack Black?
No, the what's
Baphomet.
Yeah, that's the one I was looking for. Baphomet. You know, I've heard that he's been straight up found in Lady Gaga's music videos and Jay-Z's videos. Is this the case?
You do see that. You see the goat's head. Yes, absolutely. And you'll constantly see them doing that triangle in front of their eye, which is actually in magic, in ceremonial magic. That's the triangle of manifestation. And you'll also see them making the sign of silence, and they're all getting tattooed to their finger. This is also a symbol of the Hermetic arts. So these are all symbols that you would practice and use if you were performing ceremonial magic. And so they're not just coded signs and symbols, they're actually ritual gestures. But when we get to, like, Lady Gaga, so first thing she does, VMA Awards, comes out and does a blood ritual sacrifice. She comes out and she's singing Paparazzi, which, of course, she had dedicated the show to Princess Diana, and she's singing Paparazzi, who are the supposed killers of Princess Diana, and, of course, she died on the 13th column, and if you realize that there was a Rothschild in the temple, or the tunnel, to receive her soul, Princess Diana's soul, when she died, then you'll start to understand how the soul transfer thing kind of works, and then realize that Danny Lynn Smith, the daughter of Anna Nicole, was also a Rothschild directly through the Hitler bloodline. So, you know, this is another bloodline that's willing to receive these souls. So in the 13, again, in the symbolism. So this whole thing, the Paparazzi, I think that she's actually singing to Pope Ratzinger, Paparazzi, or Papa Ratzinger, Father Ratzinger, the head of the Satanists, you know, even the head of the exorcism, you know, the head exorcist of the Vatican says the Vatican needs an exorcism. When she came out, then she did this blood ritual where she's singing her song and all of a sudden blood's pouring out and everybody's screaming. And then she's hung and she's crucified and then brought off into a bolt of light. Then they get a little more blatant. They get to the Grammys and they announce her saying that she has no soul and that she has her own polo stick. Now, there's a lot of talk about Lady Gaga being a hermaphrodite. And the hermaphrodite, of course, will constantly come into play. That's what Prince's logo is when you see the Venus and Mars logo of Prince. He's a hermaphrodite, like symbols. That's the target sign, the sun sign of target. It's a hermaphroditic symbol. The Masonic compass square and G is a hermaphroditic symbol. That's Hermes and Aphrodite. And so the golden sun with the breast beard of Janet Jackson. You know, we can go on and on. So as she comes out in her next ritual, they're saying, you know, that she's a hermaphrodite. Then they say she's a monster, and she's mind-controlling you with her pop music. Then they ritually sacrifice her by burning her or going through a phoenix ritual, and then she rises from the ashes, which is actually the third degree in Masonry's oath, to have your bowels cut in twain and all your innards burnt to ashes so that there's nothing left of this horrid person that you are. So she goes through this ritual, but it doesn't just stop there. Then Beyonce comes out with Riot Squads and starts to indoctrinate the Riot Squad idea and does something very weird where she lifts a man up out of the audience by his head. And this is to start and invoke the concept of magic and the power, the psi powers, the paranormal powers. And then, what's her name? Pink. she comes out dressed exactly like an entered apprentice in Freemasonry, where she has one pant leg, which is actually a checkerboard, like the checkerboard floor of Freemasonry, instead of having the pant leg rolled up. But she has her breast bared and her sleeve pulled down. She has a cable tow around her neck, and she's hoodwinked with a blindfold. So she's in the ritual possession and standing in an entered apprentice ritual garb, and then she's hung from the ceiling. You know, it gets very blatant. You have Jack Black coming out giving a prayer to Satan, to the devil.
You know, this is just great family entertainment. I mean,
oh, of course.
Something to really tune into. I'm sure my parents were watching. That's the scary thing. And how about the fact that most people are seeing this stuff and don't have any idea? What kind of effect does that have on their subconscious?
Well, as I was saying, they were after the age of Horus, and they even equate this to Satan. As you read the works of Kenneth Grant and get into the deeper OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis magic, you start to get the signs and symbols and understand what they're after. This led me back to the 9/11 again, because I didn't really explain why it's a Luciferian number. But what it does to the consciousness is that America is slated to be the satanic force. We're supposed to be the ones that the global government can always point back to and say, look what happens when you give people freedom. And so we are being indoctrinated into this satanic force, and we are playing the role so that then the priestcraft, who will take over these regional governors that will rule the world, the oligarchy, can always point to what happens when you give people liberty. But the problem is, we got to realize that the culture is being created. It's all being engineered, and we're being led down a trail.
All right, Freeman, tell me I'm crazy here, buddy. I just noticed something. You know how I just played that Anna Nicole intro?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm looking at the last shot that cartoon that they made for the show ends on. And what do you think that the image is? It's of the Eye of Horus. I swear to God on my life, folks. I'm going to post it on our website, theylie.com. If you go to the last part of the video, you'll see it's as clear as day. In fact, Freeman, I'm going to send you the link right now to this so you can see it and confirm what I'm saying. I'll send it to you here on our Skype chat. I mean, it's unbelievable. Once you start to listen to Freeman and he tells you about some of this stuff and you look into some of these symbols, you'll just start seeing it everywhere. And it's not a coincidence. I don't believe that could be a coincidence. It's just so blatantly connected that it's very hard to think that it's a coincidence.
Right.
All right, so real quick, some satanic symbols that you'll see every day. The only word that you can make out of numerological 666 in English is fox. F being the sixth letter, O the 15th, X the 24th, Fox, 666. When you look at the CERN logo, you'll see that it's 666 with a hyperdimensional portal. The other symbol that is the same as a satanic symbol is the I, because in Hebrew, the letter Ayin means I, and in the Tarot, it is the devil card. So Ayin or I is the devil. So when you see the Columbia I and Columbia Broadcasting, know that the goddess is the devil. I mean, this is the symbols. I'm not saying that women are devils. I'm telling you symbolism, okay?
Right.
So the eye is a symbol of devil in the tarot. If you take the tarot card, look at the eye. Okay. Conoco actually breaks down to pentagram in 666 when you take it and transliterate it. And then Barack Obama.
Yeah. I've heard this.
When we look to Barack Obama, the very words Barack Obama are in Hebrew, in ancient Aramaic, mean lightning from heaven. You can go check it up in your own biblical dictionary. Barack Obama means lightning from heaven. So when Jesus said, and Satan fell like lightning from heaven, then you will see that you could say, and Satan fell like Barack Obama. And Barack Obama, and this is what I'm saying, is that, okay, we're dealing with ritual magicians. In every aspect of ritual magic, you have to make sure to put all the right signs and symbols to engender the proper entity you want to invoke. And right now we're invoking Satan. And so we have Barack Obama, the lightning from heaven, riding around in the beast, which is the name of his limousine. And when you play Yes We Can backwards, it clearly states, "Thank you, Satan." Try it yourself. Just record it. Yes, we can.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan.
Yeah, it works forward and backwards. You can say, "Thank you, Satan," or "Yes, we can," and reverse it, and you'll find that. So they are now invoking the satanic force, as I've been saying. And so the whole concept then is the final output of World War III, as described by Albert Pike, who was also the reputed head of the Ku Klux Klan,
right,
and also a very dark magician. That anyway, he outlined these three world wars, saying that we were going to get the Christians and Muslims fighting. And so then now you got Obama coming out saying he's a Christian, he's a Muslim. He says it both. You know, he quotes from the Quran while just standing there saying he's a Christian. This was to dissolve the moral compass, as Albert Pike put it, and start this road to World War III, and then also to get the Zionists and the Muslims to fight. And that's where the Temple Mount comes in, and that's my 4th of July prediction. That will really be the spark of World War III when the Pope takes the Temple Mount on the 4th of July.
That's interesting. That coming up this 4th of July, you're saying then, you think, Freeman?
Well, like I say, I follow symbolic gestures, and so the date, you know, like having an exact year is difficult because I'm following certain key numbers. But I do expect it this year. I started talking strongly about it last year before the 4th, and right as I started to talk about it, the Pope made a move on the Temple Mount. For the first time ever in recorded history, a pontiff went to the Temple Mount, and that was Pope Benedict. And this whole thing began. And
wow.
So as I was saying it was going to occur, he started to make it occur, but it didn't happen on that 4th of July last year, so I'm still expecting it to be symbolically done this year. And like I say, the reason the 4th of July is that that is the date that the Templars lost the Temple Mount, and then on top of that, it is the cornerstone dating for the One World Tower. It's secretly encoded into the structure of the Georgia Guidestones in their size. And then it's also incorporated in that they opened the crown of Statue of Liberty, or Queen Semiramis, on the 4th of July last year, the opening of the crown, the Shekinah. That was another one. When you start to see things as ritual instead of warfare, when we attacked Baghdad, they called it the Shock and Awe Campaign. Well, the Shock and Awe is a play on the Hebrew word Shekinah, which is the force that came up out of the Ark of the Covenant. That was
right.
The voice of God that surrounded the Ark of the Covenant. Or in Freemasonry, it's known as the Cloud of Brotherhood, the invisible Cloud of Brotherhood that surrounds the Masonic altar. That's the Shock and Awe, the Shekinah. And they attacked Saddam Hussein, who was claiming to be Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated, and he was rebuilding Nebuchadnezzar's palace and all of the hanging gardens and all of that.
Right.
And they attacked him with the mother of all bombs, which was known as the Moab, which are the people that came in to storm Nebuchadnezzar. And then when you read the Bible in King James, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar is connected to Lucifer. It's actually the only time they mention Lucifer in the Bible. In the King James Bible, is the only Bible that mentions Lucifer, it's in reference to Nebuchadnezzar. So we have the Shekinah coming down, striking Nebuchadnezzar using the Moabs, and it falls on these ritual dates of Walpurgis Night and the Vernal Equinox. So it's ritual. It's not warfare.
Wow. It's astounding stuff, because these guys are really into this magic. You know, I mentioned on our show just a couple nights ago that one of the people who's working with architects and engineers for 9/11 had discovered that all five Kennedy mishaps had taken place in the same Siberian clock hour with the astrological timetable. I don't know whether people understood that, were thinking that I was saying that there was something about astrology, or whether I was actually pointing out is that somebody had planned these events to take place within the same astrological hour. And John F. Kennedy Jr., the assassination of JFK, Bobby Kennedy, the plane crash, I guess the initial one with Ted Kennedy, and then Joseph Kennedy's death back in World War II, all had taken place on the same astrological hour. And so, you know, I don't know how that all fits in, but I just thought I'd bring that up, because somebody evidently was planning these events to take place virtually at the same time. The odds are in the millions, that one out of a million that this could happen. I mean, is this kind of does that fit into this kind of thing here, Freeman?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The sacrifice of the king and the rituals that they go through and the trauma, you know, all of this is about trauma. And
yeah.
It's for us to be trauma-based mind control slaves ourselves.
Wow. This is astounding stuff, and it's really good. FreemanTV.com is the website. I'm going to be going there, and hopefully, you know, Freeman can help me out a little bit with my video enterprises because I've got a lot to learn. But I'm so fascinated with a lot of this stuff, and sometimes I don't know how you are, but I hear so much stuff that I don't know if I can handle anymore. Is that kind of the way you've been over the last
yeah.
few years? You don't want to see anymore, but it just keeps pouring out everywhere, it seems like, doesn't it?
It's true. And well, on one level, I'm a researcher that really enjoys it because it's wonderful to me. It's full of wonder. It's intriguing. The idea and the possibility that Obama might be a clone of Akhenaten, I didn't know that was coming. I did not expect to be talking about that, although I had already preempted this by discussing the fact that we can clone mummies. I have been talking about this live on television for 5 years now. I went back and started watching some of my old stuff, and I was like, wow, you know, I already said all of this. I was telling you to watch Phobos. I was telling you that we can clone mummies and that they were going to start bringing them back once the cloning came into play. Little did I know that I would find that a Barack Obama would be a clone of an ancient pharaoh, though. But if you go and you look at my image that I crafted, I took the bust of Akhenaten, I took the bust of his mother, Queen Ti, and the bust of his two daughters that became co-regents, and I put half of their face with half of the first family's face, and they're all identical matches, identical. This
wow.
is not close. This is not similar. Even with the picture of Queen Ti, I don't know if you guys have access to it. You go to FreemanTV.com, just right there on the front page, and you will see that you can't even tell I put Michelle Obama's face on there. Queen Ti and Michelle Obama are such an exact match that you can't tell I even manipulated the image. Barack, you can tell a little more because the statue of Barack is in sandstone, you know, or limestone, so you can't really, you know, it doesn't. But when I found out, I'm going through this whole puzzle. I'm watching the next step, okay? So Wernher von Braun, the Nazi scientist, came over here to start NASA for us with Jack Parsons and Walt Disney. He outlined how they would bring about this weaponization of space. And he said, first it'd be the Red Scare, next it'd be terrorists. Following terrorists would be asteroids. And following asteroids would be an extraterrestrial invasion. He said, all of this is planned. It's all fake. It's all just engineered to bring about this one world government. And the weaponization of space to fight off the good ETs is what he was saying. And so as I started to watch Obama come into play, I watched the whole inauguration ritual and how they outlined the whole fact that he was ineligible, even to the point where he flubbed the oath and then was taken off into secret, did the oath under the picture of a Mason, and then walked out saying, oh, I forgot my Bible, but it still counts. The ineligibility thing was the political aspect of it, but the ritual aspect of it makes him Akhenaten.
Wow.
Now,
interesting. Yeah, the guy
truth
is definitely,
the truth.
It's a dilemma, isn't it? I mean, everybody knows there's something wrong about his whole birth certificate situation, his Barry Sotero background, his missing years at Columbia, and yet, of course, he's the dark horse, if you know, it can be said that way about the political race who comes in and then ends up as the president, and everybody's wondering who this man really is, you know, but go ahead, you know.
Yeah, you can't get his Columbia transcripts, you can't get his college transcripts, you can't get his birth certificate, no one knows who he is, it's claimed he has 25 social security numbers, you know, the list goes on and on. Phil Berg, of course, doing a very amazing job. Me, I think Orly Tates was a plant so that no one really took this serious, but they needed it in the consciousness because the next buzzword we should be hearing is citizen. In citizenship and what you're going to have to do, you'll have to become part of Barack's youth brigade to be a citizen. And they've outlined all this. The Freemason Robert Heinlein outlined this and his Starship Troopers and how this would all unfold.
Wow.
But as I'm watching Barack Obama, now another thing that's out that I should throw out there is HJ Resolution Number 5, which removes all limits to terms of presidency. So we will have an emperor if they actually pass HJ Resolution 5, because that eliminates terms to presidency. When I started into Barack as knowing he was going to weaponize space and knowing they were going to use asteroids to do this. So I started tracking the DOD and NASA. And the very first thing that Obama comes out when he became president was that, well, they're considering coupling the DOD with NASA and making a wartime space program. Then they changed the name of the space program over to Ares. Ares is Mars, the god of war, therefore making a wartime space program. I did not expect Ares to make it, though. I was keeping my eye because the next thing that's coming around is corporatism or fascism. And so corporations have to take over for these government-sanctioned entities like NASA. And so I knew Ares would fall, and I knew the dragon would rise. So here now we have on the launch pad waiting to go. It was actually supposed to launch on 322, the number of the skull and bones, and that is the SpaceX Dragon spacecraft that is launched by the Falcon vehicle, which is the symbol of Horus, and launched by the Merlin rocket engines, which, of course, is the wizard of
King Arthur.
King Arthur.
Yeah.
Okay. So realize that all of this, you know, is going on. SpaceX, of course, was started by Elon Musk, who founded PayPal. So every time somebody buys my DVD, they're funding SpaceX. But what can I do?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. But so as I'm watching this whole story and I'm saying, okay, the next thing is asteroids. Everybody's, what's the next 9/11? What's the next 10/13? I'm like, asteroids. Lo and behold, right on cue, an asteroid comes straight towards the planet. On March 2nd, this asteroid almost hits the planet. Jet Propulsion Laboratories and a few others started setting up what they now call Asteroid Watch, but we don't have the ability to watch these incoming meteors or asteroids. We can only see a very small portion of the world, but they're trying to fix all of that, and that was part of the scheduling plan. Well, lo and behold, March 2nd, 2009, here comes this asteroid heading towards planet Earth. Comes so close, it's in between the moon and Earth and in geosynchronous orbit with the satellites. But they said, well, we didn't see this one coming. The truth is we're waiting on this other asteroid that we're afraid of, and it's known as Apophis. And it comes from a group of near-Earth asteroids known as the Aten.
Wow.
So now, all of a sudden, I'm piecing things together of Barack Obama being Akhenaten. Not the reincarnation, not a similar entity, not some, but a clone of Akhenaten. And when you start to understand who Akhenaten was, now, Sigmund Freud thought Akhenaten was Moses. So now we're back to Moses, Kabbalah, and the building of the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
There's many other people who believe Akhenaten was Moses. It's believed that actually if you took this bloodline of these pharaonic lines and just superimposed their names into the biblical patriarchs, it actually gives you the whole story.
Yeah.
So we find Yuya as Joseph, who is the grandfather, a great-grandfather, down to Amenhotep III, into Amenhotep IV, who is Akhenaten, and then King Tut. Well, Akhenaten started the first monotheism. He was like the Cylon of ancient times, and had everyone worshiping this singular god, which was a sun disk with hands coming down from the rays. And he called this sun god the Aten, which is the asteroid, near-Earth asteroid group. And then he announced that there was this demonic, satanic, evil serpent of deity of destruction that they called a pep, or wouldn't you like to be a pep or two, or Pepsi,
yeah.
A pep. But Apep was later known as Apophis. And so all of a sudden, here is Akhenaten, Queen T, and the girls in office claiming to be from outer space, that their father Jor-El sent them here to save planet Earth, playing the role of Morgan Freeman in Deep Impact as they announce the incoming of Apophis. So we have Akhenaten in office fighting his serpent deity, Apophis. What are the odds? Then they gave the first family secret names. They were Renegade, Renaissance, Radiance, and Rosebud. So Renegade was going to Obama. That was his secret name. Renegade means someone who rebels or becomes an outlaw, a disloyal person who betrays or deserts his cause or religion or political party or friend, etc. Christian turned Muslim. C, disloyal, defector, dissenter, turncoat, apostate. This is the name that the Secret Service gave to our president, Renegade. But Akhenaten was also known as the Renegade Pharaoh. Then they gave the First Lady, Michelle Obama, who would be Queen T, the name Renaissance, which means a revival of learning and culture, or rising again as to new life, a second or new birth, reincarnation, right? So her name is Renaissance and Renegade. Then the children, they gave Radiance and Rosebud. And when you look at the frieze of Akhenaten with his solar deity, the Aten, and his two daughters with his wife Nefertiti, they are holding rosebuds, the name they gave to Malaya, and they are holding them into the radiance of the sun, which is the name they gave to Sasha. So all of the names that they were given by the Secret Service actually are coded names for Akhenaten.
Wow. So the whole thing is actually a cultic up and down, even inside the security circles and everything like that. All these people plugged in almost the same ideology. You know, this has been fascinating, and what's happening is we're getting close to time that we're going to run out, and what I know Bob is interested in, and I am too. You know, Freeman, what do we do about all this? I mean, are we just kind of along for the ride, and you know, and it's just like Star Wars, and we're just going to have to sit through it and see everything that happens, or I mean, are we should we be passive or active, or what are we going to do? I mean, these people sound like they're crazy, you know? I mean, that's
Bob. Yeah.
Obviously they're crazy, and look at the world today. But I mean, what do you suggest? How do we react to all this stuff?
Okay, in all of this, what I've begun to understand, and where I began was on a path of the miraculous. I was guided through life just by happenstance, if you will, just being brought to all of the best events and all of the things that could fulfill my soul's purpose were just led to me. Because I was free of any indoctrination. I got to honestly say that I was too smart for school and therefore just wasn't indoctrinated like the rest. So I didn't even understand money or business or any of that because it didn't make any logical sense to me whatsoever. But I went on a path that led me down synchronicity. And as I would start to tell everyone my tales of how all the wondrous things that I had done across the nation, and they would say, well, how'd you pay for all that? How'd you do that? And I would say, well, you know, I never thought about it until you asked, actually. I don't know. One thing just led to the next, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, then I came across James Redfield's Celestine Prophecies.
Okay.
The Celestine Prophecies. And there, to me, seemed to be a guidebook to explain exactly what I was doing. It turns out that what we are in is a competition for energy. And so we have all been repressed, and we've had this beauty removed from our world. And then we're completely indoctrinated into a system that's completely mental in all ways, shapes, and forms. And it is programmed like a computer program into us. So we believe in things like nations and money and all these things that aren't real. You know, there's no such thing as a corporation. It's a piece of contract, you know. There's no legitimacy to it. It's not real. And we're in this competition for beauty, and they're trying to condition us how to fight for that beauty. And so we've been indoctrinated into the age of the dark hero, the vengeful hero Horus. So now we've been taught that the only way to find justice is to become the slasher killer hero, like Neo or V for Vendetta, or all the many ways they've programmed the dark hero in us.
Yeah.
Superman, even Batman. And those have both been bought out by Disney, by the way. So, yeah. Disney $4 billion for Marvel.
DC Comics, huh?
Or Marvel, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I realized is that there is a miraculous path that we can all follow if we are willing to bubble up our own beauty within us. We have to seek the minor beauties that we have left. We have to meditate on plants and love the nature and to get out into nature. We have to walk away from really our jobs and everything if we could get everyone en masse to do that. Of course, individuals can't do this alone. But more importantly, we need to recognize beauty and then share that with others. And so we've all been, indoctrinated into fighting and being cool and all of that. And it's very hard for us to share beauty with one another, to share love with one another, and to feel the nurturing support that humans have the capacity to create. You know, we're the animal that pets animals. We're the animal that loves things. We're the ones that create beauty. We're amazing creatures, but we've been so misguided. And now we are been conditioned to believe that humanity is evil. There are virus on this planet that needs to be wiped out. They did a poll to say, what would you say to E.T. in the Telegraph? And everybody said, don't come here. We're a bunch of evil, sinister beings, you know.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And we're believing the lie. because no one's getting out and meeting one another, getting social and learning, except for in these crazy environments with the loud techno music and whatnot. That's where people gather to try and commune with each other.
Right. Super Bowl. Yeah. Super Bowl.
So the path out lies in this miraculous nature of the universe, which is part of the magician's tools, right? What the sorcerer has learned is how to manipulate the Shekinah, manipulate the force of this goddess love to use it to their own ends. And so we got to recognize that there's more to life, that there's more to humanity than just simple cogs in a wheel. We are spiritual beings that are bound by our own mentality. And we can escape this by loving one another. And I know how hippie that sounds. But that's the only path out of this, because the only solution to trauma-based mind control is nurture, is security and safety. And we are being led to scarcity and fear. And so we can find that path, and it does exist. There's a lot of people coming up on synchronicity and the magical or miraculous world that exists. And the problem with the synchronicity is that you can't teach it to anyone. They have to see it for themselves, because you can't tell somebody how perfect your life was. They'll just get grumpy and say, well, you know, I can't do that. And so people have to see it for themselves, and that's the difficulty in synchronicity, because they're not going to promote it on mainstream TV. They're not going to promote it to you. They give it to you in short bursts like The Secret, but then they engineer it all to, don't you want a new car? Don't you want a new home? So that your miracles are now continually to fulfill this mechanistic agenda of the elite. So that's my message to everyone, is that you got to raise your own love vibration. You got to feel those goosebumps. Don't be afraid of your emotions, and allow this stuff to come up and allow to share with people that are around you. And we need to get away from the take mentality and be the lever mentality, and get into sharing understanding. But it's going to be hard. No, we are going to have to ride the ride. Okay, they're going to throw meteors at us. They just hit Mississippi with a bunch of sonic boom meteors. They're going to hit us with, World War III, all of these things. But when you realize that in 1984, what was lost was Winston's self-will, his own personal self. He gave it over to believe in Big Brother. And that's where we lose. So we have to make it through the situation. We can temper it by showing gratitude, by showing love, by nurturing others during the ordeal, and then come out on the other side. But I don't believe we can stop the Brotherhood from this play that they're about to enact.
Well, you left us all speechless there, Freeman.
Yeah, you kind of caught me on mute there, and I was going to ask some questions. Do you think that the truth movement is going to go anywhere? Or is that where it's at? Is it just basically another counter-negative to the whole system?
It is. If you're still fighting on the chessboard, then you're still playing the game. Just like they showed you in war games, the only way to win is not to play. And if enough of us take that knowledge and walk away, they will be defeated. This whole thing could end in a day if people would suddenly just become sovereign. If people suddenly realize that they are a miracle and that they deserve to exist. You deserve to be here. And that's the victim mentality that we have to escape.
Yeah, I understand. Because there is a lot of tension, and I felt this before, and what I've noticed, of course, is that, you know, I don't see any solutions coming out of all of it. That's what bothers me. I mean, there was just speaking politically to the whole situation, that, you know, Ron Paul has a lot of great ideals, but nothing's happened. He left the political race. The banksters took over, as you pointed out. You know, there was a complete depletion of finances. People were put through all this horrific economic horror. I call it the economic 9/11, where they were, you know, just fleeced for trillions of dollars. Then we were told there's no way out of this except for we've got to just keep going the same direction. You know, the wars didn't come to an end. Obama was elected. There's the torture. I'm not trying to get negative again. I'm just saying that, you know, it's been sad. And then, of course, now the health care bill is another big thing for a lot of people who feel like they've lost control of their ability to make their own decisions. And this is the socialism that's coming in. And I'm bringing all this stuff up only just to illustrate that in spite of all of the resistance that I've seen, and Bob knows I've said this before, I've been kind of burned out with the whole thing, and I'm thinking, man, I just don't know whether this is going anywhere or not, and whether the energy that I'm putting into this is worth the stimulation of my own adrenaline to the anger. And what you're talking about here maybe is something I need to hear. Go ahead. And am I right here? Am I picking up on that right, or is that what's coming across?
Oh, definitely. You know, the anger is meant to be there. All of this fight and you know, fighting for freedom or war is peace, you know, whatever you want to take it, is doublethink, and we're caught up in that. So the problem is, you know, everyone's indoctrinated since their birth, and so they believe their nation is the greatest nation in the world. But as we've all started to come together as a global community over the internet, we're finding, well, that guy in Sweden's no different than I am. The guy in even Astana, as I'm watching their video for promotions, they're no different than us. And as you realize that the majority of the planet are loving, nurturing, caring beings that want nothing but the best for everyone around them, then you really start to wonder, you know, why these people are doing what they're doing and how they can continue doing it. And of course, it's all mind control and it's all mental. Everything's mental. It's not real. It could change tomorrow if we wanted it. But people have to want it, and instead we're being directed to fight. We're directed to be the dark hero and to seek justice through violence. And that's never going to bring out the solution, and it's only going to bring what they want. And so, yeah, the Truther movement is just fueling the fire for people's fanaticism so that they can get more violent and angry and feel justified in their anger and violence. And that's where we have to turn the tide. And it's up to us. I mean, imagine what it would be like if we did it, if we actually just turned the tide, if we all just said, we're not going to live this way any longer. I'm going to show gratitude for life on planet Earth. I'm going to show loving, nurturing. I'm going to stop paying bills. Money is a fraud. It doesn't exist. Contracts, fraud, they don't exist. And we started to only deal with what was real. Then we would start to see it manifest. But they don't allow these type of situations to unfold. If you go out to rainbow gatherings like I do, you'll watch people lose their minds because all of a sudden they're in a secure, safe environment and their bodies start to erupt and they start to lose all of that trauma and they're brought back around. So it is possible, but you got to be willing to love another.
The use of psychedelics is a big part of that process, I'm sure. And we've talked about that on our show with our special guest, Mark Paseo from What on Earth is Happening. He's going to be joining Revolution Broadcasting Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock East Coast time. You're going to want to check out his radio program. He also talks a little bit about money and seeing right through it. Of course, money, if you break it down as he puts it, you have the prefix mono, which is one, and then EY, which is eye, one eye, or the all-seeing eye, of course, very connected to what you've been talking about throughout the show tonight. Freeman, let's give out your website one more time, buddy, and I just can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It feels like the 2 hours just whooped by us so fast, and we're definitely going to try to have you on again.
It really does. Well, the website's freemantv.com, and you can find all my radio shows and whatnot on there. I do the Free Zones on Saturday night, and I do Radio Freeman on Tuesdays. Everything's there on Freeman TV. It's all free, but I am listener-sponsored, and I guarantee you my DVDs will blow your mind. I've got stuff in there you've never seen before, I promise that.
Wow. So you do it for free, you put it out there because you believe in open-source information, and you believe that people will be so impressed that they're going to want to support you. But first, you got to make up your own minds and check it out for yourself.
Exactly.
Very
right,
powerful
buddy.
Stuff.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And, of course, we're going to want to check out your radio program also. Don't you do a show on Oracle Broadcasting Network?
Yes, The Free Zone, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Central. It's that's where I cover the news and get into things, and I'll cover things that people aren't covering. You know, I was the head source for the bombing of the moon. I was the head source for the Norway spiral, things that aren't being covered by other truth movements. And then also I do Radio Freeman on Tuesdays, which is more like Confessions of a Conspiracy Theorist, where I get into all my own personal emotional thoughts. And
there you go. Great.
Interesting.
We'll have to listen to that for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Alrighty.
Really
well, again, Freeman, thanks for coming on. We'll see you next time.
Hey, thank you guys. It was a good time.
Alrighty.
Hope we change.
Let's see here, Steve. Truth Be Told Radio. Daylie.com is our website. RevolutionBroadcasting.com carries our show Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock to midnight, East Coast time. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Truth Be Told Radio. We're going to have the first portion of the show be about hydroponic gardening with two very special guests. And in the second part of the show, we'll have Rick Perlstein from the Freedom and Liberty Show airing Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you next time on Truth Be Told Radio, folks. We thank you so much for tuning in. And Steve?
Yeah, have a good night. FreemanTV.com. Check them out. And our website, theylie.com.
Podcast radio. Hellfire. Truth music.
Turmoil erupting through American soil. You can get platinum and return your life or crumble like foil. I'm the king to everybody, I'm royal. Forget about thinking, just work for us, we'll make you immortal. All the answers to your innermost desires ain't too far away. Exhibit A, take a few courses, see a green beret. Exhibit B, poverty be stripped of viruses and glitches. We're randomly selected digits, printed on prescriptions. We'll take your dad away and leave you with mom. Two sisters slumped over on their knees and their palms. Like we give a damn, we control your banking institutions. Produce machinery, distributing global pollution. Make a great choice, give us your soul. Such a great voice, don't waste it telling people the truth. They're too impatient, things are moving on accordingly. We might have been a nation, and it'll be an honor if you would join our organization. Truth Be Told. You can have anything in your dreams, just be a hurry, mobilize without a prior restraint.
This way the servants are kept in line with police state measures. We're thinking it's a crime and they're reading your letters online and in the mail too. And true patriots get failed by more than a few shadow government agents who write their own warrants. And new laws come by the torrent and it's always wars in this part and that part. Where the fake media mislead you in the support.